Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And where is Cousin Shane? That's what I'd like to know. Oh, there he is!
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man. Do we owe an apology to Quinn Ewers?
Yeah. I mean,
you look kind of like Quinn Ewers with that haircut.
This is the closest Kirby they had. I said, what's the ugliest hairstyle you got? And they gave me this one, Mike. So I apologize. I even had to trim a little bit off the top. But what's congratulations. It like to have? Congratulations, Georgia. You win.
What's it like to have hair?
That's why I'm late. You know, I feel bad for people with hair now because usually I can just jump on here. I ain't got to worry about it. But now I had to get hairspray involved. I had to get it combed out. You know, I mean, I feel bad for folks with hair now.
Jordan says Shane's going to miss like the Vols kicker.
Damn. Too soon. Too damn soon. What a weekend. I mean, seriously.
JD says, don't be kicking Shane while he's down.
Seriously, man. My daughter said, what the hell? That's what she said. She thought, you think I should grow it back? I mean, I don't know. Maybe Kirby's onto something there.
I think it's a good look for you.
Yeah.
Are you going to do younger? The tongue like Kirby?
No. Hell no. Oh, my gosh, man. I tell you, seriously, man, what a wild weekend. Great football. I hated to see Tennessee gave that one away. It's exactly what they did. But, man, that 7 o'clock slate was just absolutely fireworks all the way to the very end. This is SEC football. This is what we signed up for, man. And this is why we pushed for a 9-game schedule so hard, because this is what we want every single weekend.
Right. Well, the weekends, I mean, they just keep topping themselves, Shane. I think this is the best weekend yet of SEC football. But there's two ways you can make the weekend just a little bit better, if that's even humanly possible, Shane, is going over to MyBookie, presenting sponsor of the show, MyBookie, the online sports book. Start an account, throw in an initial deposit, and put in that promo code SEC. They're willing to give you a $500 no-risk wager right out the gate. What's that mean? That means whatever your first wager is, if you win it, you can cash it out. See ya. Just yeah. You're like Kirby. You come into Neyland, you get a win, and you go home. But if you lose it, like the Tennessee kicker, they're going to give you your money right back. Again, only if you use that promo code SEC over at MyBookie. So check them on out and check out our friend. I know Shane.
Yeah.
The only way he got through the game, and I think the only way he got over it after, was them Tennessee Legends.
Got me through it. Absolutely, Mike. These guys are awesome. Not only, I'm telling you, brother, not only did I enjoy 3.5 quarters of that football game, you know, I enjoyed it even more with Tennessee Legend. And if you are by the Smoky Mountain locations, be sure to stop in and let them know that the cousin sent you. Not only are you going to get a discount, but you will also get a free gift. And if you can't get it, or if you can't get to Tennessee, then go to your package store and tell them they need it on the shelf. Be sure to send a picture and say, hey, come on now. We got this on here. Send it to thatsecpodcast@gmail.com or DM me, and we will include you for Tennessee Legend. I will be debuting the legend tomorrow morning on the SEC Hangover.
Well, you know who else, our other sponsor, Shane?
Yeah.
Legend, Cousin JR has done it again.
He's back, Shane, and he's feeling good. He's gifted 5 dogs, 5 memberships. The legend, JR.
Thank you, cuz.
Shout out, JR. Any chance?
For five extra yards we gave you with a false start there before that damn kick.
Right, so shout out Joe Bone, maybe that's what that is. That's pretty cool. Sam Shepard, Daniel Grove, Dallas Smith, and Aiden Aragon. What a name.
Welcome to the family.
All right, Shane, before we get into it, also, I want to toot my own horn.
Yeah.
Last time I'm going to do a sponsor here. Prize Picks here. So I went 5 for 5, Shane. So if you ain't going already to Prize Picks, put in that promo code SEC. You play 5, you get 50. I mean, hell, I'm giving you free money over here. Mm-hmm. So go check it out. And then here's our week 3 roundup of the picks. Shane is, man, he's in the gutter over here.
Yeah.
He's talking that talk for weeks on end. He only got 9 right. Shout out Liquid Shane. He led the way with 11. Damn. The Cousins are whooping everybody's ass. 38 correct calls for the Cousins. Steven, Shane, and I are tied at 36. So what does this tell me, Shane? The Cousins know more about football than we ever will, and they're whooping our ass. And now the pressure's on Cousin Ben because he's the next Cousins celebrity picker. He don't want to cost him the lead. You know what?
No. And hey, my lock was right. A lot of Aggies were upset that I picked them, but they're not so upset now. They're absolutely celebrating. I tell you, I may not be able to pick the rest of the games, but at least my lock is right.
Right. All right. So let's get into it, Shane. I know this is going to be painful for you. Mm-hmm. Game of the week, game of the year, I think, up to this point in the SEC. Georgia, mighty Georgia, comes into Rocky Top, beats Tennessee 44-41. What a damn game, Shane. Tennessee had it. They let it slip through their fingers. Mm-hmm. I mean, both these teams were red hot right out the gate. How about this, Shane? Georgia, 502 total yards. Tennessee, though, 496. I mean, this was a damn battle of epic proportions. Here's the difference, though. Georgia on third down, 8 of 17. Tennessee, 5 of 12. And Georgia was 5 for 5 in the red zone for 26 points. I mean, that was quite literally the difference in the game. And we got to give this man some love, Shane, because we were, carpetbagging. Is it time to see Puglisi, the backup? Hell no. It's Gutter Show. This guy came alive. Here's just his statistics against Tennessee. 304 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 38 rushing, and another touchdown, including the biggest throw of the damn game to old Landon there for a touchdown. I mean, what an epic performance by Gunner. And if you're here to doubt Gunner, I'm here to tell you to go to hell. Because them dogs, Shane, is hell right now, and they're rolling. Yeah. Is Georgia the team to beat in the SEC?
Right now, absolutely. Yeah. I think obviously things could change, but right now the Georgia Bulldogs are the best team, not only in the SEC, but in the country, if you ask me. Going on the road, this was a big one, man. This was a big win for them dogs. I thought gutsy, too. You look at 4th and 6, and you trust Gunner to throw it to the side of the end zone. You know, I thought that spoke volumes to the amount of trust that Kirby has in his quarterback. And once that happened, we all felt it. We watched it. You were here with me. You felt like Tennessee was going to lose this game because old Low T Hopple came out there and said, hey, let's play soft. Let's don't play like we've been playing the last 3 quarters. Let's give Georgia a shot and let this thing come down to a kicker, which it never should have. But absolutely, absolutely a disaster for Tennessee in the back end. But hey, you know, I told you we're not going to hang the banner because we played this one close, but I will tell you, if you are a Tennessee fan, you feel pretty damn good about this football squad. I feel better about this team than I did last year.
How about this man? Again, these are just the stats against Georgia, Shane. Shout out Joey Aguilar. Completed 67% of his passes, 371 yards, 4 touchdowns. He did have the 2 picks, but in fairness, the one pick, the receiver fell down in the middle of his route, and he also added a rushing touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Heupel's never had this level of success. Hell, I can't remember the last quarterback that really had this level of success. I saw some people saying, I don't remember the quarterback because who the hell cares for Ohio State? But you remember that bowl game? It was Ohio State, Georgia, that Georgia won. I mean, that's the last I could think of a quarterback carving up Kirby's defense. And then shout out this man, Chris Brazel. I mean, good night, Shane. 6 catches, 177 yards, 3 touchdowns, 29.5 yards per catch. So, again, there was a lot to like about Tennessee as well. And, hell, I mean, I'm not making this case. I got Tennessee number 3 in the power rankings. But you could, I think, rightly or justifiably say that Tennessee may be the second best team in this conference right now. They still got work to do, particularly on defense, but, not moral victory or anything, but it's a long-ass season, and I think Tennessee looks a hell of a lot better than I suspected they were going to look this year.
Yeah, I would love for them to be a little bit more balanced. I don't want this to – I don't want every game to come down to Joey must win. It felt like this was exactly the narrative. Kind of got away from that running rushing. But on the flip side, what happened to Georgia's defense? You know, I mean, when I feel like I feel like that was the biggest story of the game is not how well Gunner played, not how well – Branch played, not how, you know, it felt to me, Mike, that it was how poorly this defense, mainly that secondary, played for the Georgia Bulldogs. I think that was the biggest surprise. But ultimately, you walk out of there with a win. And going on the road to Neyland, checkered, I mean, that place was absolutely locked down, loaded. That's a big one. That's a game I feel like Georgia couldn't win last year. Does that make sense, Mike? I feel like going into the college football, you watch that. If this team would have played Notre Dame in the playoffs, they would have beat them by four scores. That's just how much better I think this Georgia Bulldog team has improved. But it does got some work ahead of them. I feel like that's the big one. You got to play games like this to get to that championship game, to get to those college football playoffs. You know, you got to play games like this, and more importantly, you got to win them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Damn.
Do you buy into the fact that Heupel got tight at the end of it? Or maybe like just a little concerned. I mean, I think he's a little conservative.
Did. Yeah, he got scared. He got scared. Money don't make money, Mike. And I feel like that's exactly what happened here. I told you, Mike, you could have came out here and I feel like put a drive together with Swagular and scored a touchdown. But instead, we set up for a field goal, which that we didn't need to. We just score. Just go score. This Georgia defense couldn't stop you, and we stopped ourselves. We made this. We put it on this little 14-year-old kicker to come out here and win the game for Tennessee. It shouldn't have been that. If anything, it should have been down to the 10 or 5-yard line. I mean, there was plenty of time. There was plenty of yards in that game for Tennessee to get closer and make it easier for his kicker.
Mm-hmm. But more impressed with Aguilar or Gunner Stockton in this just this game?
In this game, I'm going Gunner.
I think you got to, right?
On the road, absolutely. And more importantly, didn't just lock down on one guy. I mean, he was looking for everyone. Total package, not afraid to run the ball. He played a physical game. So did Joey. I don't want to take anything from him. I think arguably these are the two best quarterbacks as far as Saturday play. And it was a damn... It was a damn chess match between them, but that fourth and six is what sealed the deal for me, because I don't know of a handful of quarterbacks that could have made that play in that moment like Gunner did on Saturday.
Shane Burgundy, they're saying.
I want to talk to the manager.
Oh man! All right, wait, last thing, and then we can move on because I know you. Yeah. Emotional here. Any concern? I saw Liquid. Great question. Any concern about these defenses? Because both of them, again, it's early. It's two highly talented teams with apparently really good quarterbacks now, great coach, all that. But any concern that these defenses are not good enough to win at a high level, perhaps?
A little bit. And, you know, I more importantly, like Tennessee. Part of me wants to like tap the brakes. You're down. You're starting two cornerbacks.
Right.
You got a defensive lineman not there. I mean, there was a lot of injuries that Tennessee was dealing with. So I kind of tamper a little bit of the blame on the defense. I'm worried about the Georgia, because we talked about this during the watch party. There was moments it felt like there was some kids lost back there in that secondary. But again, iron sharpens iron. I feel like these two teams didn't miss a beat, shouldn't drop in the rankings. I think this should be one that they both move up. I feel better about Georgia moving forward, because there was a lot of question marks after that Austin Peay game, Mike, myself included, that thought, oh, shit, Georgia ain't the same dogs. No, they're the same damn dogs. And I feel like this was a big game for them to get right, and so was it with Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. And didn't it feel like that one drive, when was it, third quarter, where Georgia just like stuffed it down Tennessee's throat?
Yeah.
And it's like, ugh, this is the Georgia we know and love, and this is the Tennessee that folds.
And they got battered ball.
They got right up off the mat and kept.
Yeah.
Hell, they took the lead, should have won the damn game. But I think you kind of already said this, but I think in years past,
yeah,
Tennessee, they would have just folded, and they didn't fold.
No, it's like that movie Deadpool, you know, where that you think you killed him and then he just gets back up. Tennessee would have just been dead 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And I hate when people bitch and moan about, oh, Josh Heupel lost it. Like, come on. Josh Heupel's learning just like everybody else. And I feel like if given this same opportunity, it won't happen again because he has a lot of confidence in this offense, mainly Joey. And I feel like Low T Heupel did sneak in there on that final drive, but you can't play safe. And so I'm not worried. In fact, I'm encouraged by the rest of Tennessee's schedule because there's going to be a handful of teams that are going to have two losses, one loss, trying to get into the college football playoffs, and I think Tennessee's still right there in that mix.
Hey, Midland Sooner gave us $5, probably to help Shane get a haircut, is what he said.
You like that? Glad it's not windy today.
All right, so again, that was probably the game of the year, right?
Yes, yes.
But if I may say the win of the year, I think it's a little bit different, right? Because Georgia's been there. Georgia's won championships. They expect to win these games.
Yeah.
You know who's not expected outside of their great fans to win games, Shane?
Who's that?
Of high caliber. Give me them Aggies, Shane. Ooh, going baby. On the road. Sticking it to Notre Dame. 41-40. What a damn game, Shane. And this is like getting the weight of the world off your shoulders. And for anybody that missed it, Notre Dame came right out, blocked a punt, returned it for a touchdown, and you're thinking, oh, this is same old Aggies, right?
Yeah.
Irish got up 17-7. A&M got hot in the second quarter, 21-10, led the way. And then the Irish even won the second half, but really came down to two plays. Tyler Buckner, remember him, Alabama quarterback. Botched the snap on a PAT with 2:53 remaining, left the door open for A&M, and Marcel Reed connects with his tight end with 13 seconds left to go with a PAT to win it on the road, Shane. And, man, this is by far the biggest win of the Mike Elko era at Texas A&M and could prove to be a turning point for the program. Just how big is this one?
Huge. Absolutely huge, because this is not the same A&M, Mike. You know why? Texas A&M doesn't go on the road and beat a top 25 team. Texas A&M does not pull off an upset against an eighth-ranked opponent. You know, they do not. They fold up when they are down 7 points late in the fourth quarter. That's the Texas A&M we knew. This is the same old 8-4 that we thought we were going to get. And seeing this, Mike, there was no give up. Not only the kick return, they said, shit, you know what? Give us the ball back. We'll do it again. They march down there, get a score. This is not the same Texas A&M. This right now, brother, is the hottest team in the state of Texas. And this is what we talked about, Mike. This is what we talked about. This was going to be the launch pad for them Aggies. And I feel like now people are starting to take a little recognition that the Aggies are not the same 8-4 joke punchline anymore.
Man, and how about this guy, Shane? Oh, Mario Craver. What damn game.
Super catches, Mario.
207 yards, a touchdown. I mean, he had 139 yards after catch. Just absolutely insane. And Casey Concepcion, he was making big plays too, but hell, you just can't guard them both. You know what I mean? And Marcel Reed, he didn't have a flawless game, only 46% completion percentage, but he made the damn plays when they mattered. 360 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. He did have a pick, but he made several big time throws in this matchup. And I never lie, Shane. I never lie. I didn't think there was any shot in hell A&M was going to convert. I don't know about you. On fourth, it was fourth and goal from like the 11 and a half yard line. They had many chances. Notre Dame's got a very capable, well, at least I thought they had a capable defense. But I don't know. I just, you know, I didn't think they had it in them. And hell, I picked them to win the game. So they proved me wrong. I think they're going to prove a lot of people wrong, Shane. I think A&M is, I said it on Texags, you know, nothing's given.
Yeah.
Got 9 games left. But I said, you win this game, you're going to the college football playoff. And I'd still roll with that for right now. I think A&M's going to the playoff.
Brother, After that one, I'm looking at this schedule, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're not favorites in all but two games, maybe even one. You know, that's where I'm at right now with this team because it's the balanced attack. They finally got that running game going. You know, Marcel Reed can throw a football. Holy shit, you know. Now we got two dynamic weapons on the outside. I felt like, Mike, short of the defense, let's don't act like 40 points is – that should be a red flag. Mike Elko said he's going to fix this thing. I haven't quite seen that yet. But if A&M somehow figures out how to stop teams from running and passing, oh, man, A&M not only could be in every game, but they could win every one of them.
Right. Well, yeah, and in fairness, I mean, I think Notre Dame knew like everything was on the line here, right? I mean, they're in an 0-2 hole.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to make the playoff now after advancing all the way to the national championship game. So
yeah.
They got players too, Shane. They got players too. You know what I mean? So going on the road and doing this, I get it. It was too much scoring, but some of that was the punt, pump block return, you know? So
yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know about that, Mike. I think Notre Dame, come here, give me that camera back. I got all gelled up for this one. Hey, I'm telling you right now, Notre Dame did not expect to lose this game. Notre Dame expected to kill Texas A&M. When you got DBs coming out here and say, them wide receivers are a little handsy, but we can handle them. They ain't seen these two receivers. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that was kind of the attitude that Notre Dame had coming into this game, and I feel like they got punched quickly in the mouth. So, yeah, after the game, I don't know if you heard this, Brett. McMurphy reported Notre Dame says, we're ready to come to the SEC and the Big Ten as long as you can get the playoffs to 16. It's like, yeah, you're trying to sell that house now that we realize something's wrong with the foundation.
Hey, sorry, but I want to catch up on some of these super, Shane. Shout out. We got Steven up, $20. This is a donation for cousin Ben Helms. He picked the Vols over the Dogs. Sorry, Ben, and I'm a man of my word. How about Maroon Goon here? Here's some of my bookie money. I took Vandy and A&M to win.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How about them Tigers? Oh, my God. Vandy.
We'll get to them.
Oh, man. There's so many to. Shout out Steven Up. Steven Up, Shane.
Thank you, cuz.
Any chance you could look that up for me?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We got Steven Up here. But while we do that, Shane.
Yes.
Any final thoughts on A&M? Again, I mean, they're going on a bye week, so now we won't get to talk as much about them. Mm-hmm. But I can't overstate how important this game was, I think, to his program and just kind of proving that this is a new era there in College Station, not the same. I mean, I don't think Jimbo Fisher in a million years would have won this damn game.
No, I don't either. And real quick, Mike, I want to give a shout-out to Wonk. Sounds like a perfect family member. Wonk, welcome to the family. You've been gifted a membership by Steven Up.
Yeah.
No, I just feel like this was a big one. You know, I think a bye week's perfect. Get dialed in. SEC plays right around the corner, and there is a lot of teams emerging. Like, go back to their schedule if you don't mind, Mike. Can you pull it up real quick? One of the things that I'm seeing a little bit with A&M is we got some volatile teams coming up, right? We're going to get to the Florida Gators. We're going to get to Arkansas. But these are two teams, a couple of teams that, hell, even Auburn. We don't know what's going to happen with Auburn. These are teams that just can't afford to lose anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's similar to what you're talking about in Notre Dame.
Right.
So you can't get caught looking ahead and say, hey, we beat LSU. We beat, you know, let's focus on South Carolina Tech. No, you can't do that. This is going to have to be one of those. You have to play one game at a time. And if you do that, man, I'm telling you, the Aggies are definitely in the mix for one of those playoff spots at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah, and I forgot, Shane. So I got Coach Elko here, a quick clip on the game-winning – well, the play that won him the game.
Yeah.
So, technically the game-winning. And he says, hell, don't any of you bastards doubt Marcel Reed anymore. I love this from Coach Elko.
Hopefully you guys won't have to ask me any more questions about whether or not Marcel can throw. That's what I really hope comes out of this win. So from there, I'll open it up to questions.
What was going through your mind on the last play? And did you guys get to change the play call since they called the timeout on that fourth goal?
Yeah, we went to we had a similar play call before the timeout. We changed the formation presentation of it and ran a very similar play to what we were going to call before the timeout. We wanted to honestly have something where Nate was running on the side because we kind of thought it was going to be really hard to get it to Mario or KC. You know, they had been kind of bracketing them the two previous plays, and so that we felt like that would give us an option on the sideline if we needed it, and we did, and Marcel gave him a ball that he could go up and catch, and then he made a heck of a play.
Well, that he did, Shane, and that could very well go down in Aggie lore, you know, yeah. Based on how this season plays out. You always need that moment. You need that win. You need that game for people to start believing, mm-hmm. And that very well could have been the spark that leads A&M to – we'll see where they go this year, but if they go far, remember that play. It could be, you know, kind of the spark that started it all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking of Craver again. I was just, golly. Here I spent so much time on Concepcion, and I'm like, ah, damn, I should acknowledge the leading wide receiver in the country.
Yeah, he's currently number one. The SEC's got the top three leading receivers in the country, which is insane. But all right, Shane, we got to move on here.
Yes.
To one, which I don't see Jesse. I don't see a lot of these Gamecocks, and I don't blame them, Shane, because, oh, anchored down. Vanderbilt, Shane, goes on the road, snaps the streak. It was 16 strong, 31-7, dominating performance over the Gamecocks, Shane. Both teams scored a touchdown on the opening possession. South Carolina, obviously, never scored again. Here's their drive chart after the touchdown, Shane. Interception, punt, missed field goal, punt, turnover on downs, punt, punt, fumble, fumble, interception. So, man, at what point do we say, good night, we made a huge mistake with this offensive coordinator? And I know, Leroy Sellers, you know, I hope he's back. He got banged up. He had to leave the game. I don't think they ever said, but I, you know, you assume concussion. He got kind of rocked, so I don't know his status for the next game. But it didn't matter because they were not winning this game. He was throwing picks. They didn't look on sync at any point. Uh-uh. Vanderbilt dominated the rushing performance, 146-86. Red zone. Vanderbilt was 3 of 4 for 21 points. Carolina was 1 of 3 for 7 points. How about this stat, Shane, from Cole Kublik? Entering last night, Vanderbilt was 2-122 all time on the road against ranked opponents. Mm-hmm. I'll say that again. 2 wins, 122 losses all time. I mean, kid, that's like the most Vanderbilt stat ever. But we snapped that one too, Shane. Now we're 3-122 all time on the road against ranked opponents. Shout out Vanderbilt. They're going to cause Kirby Shane over here to start walking because he says they would go under on the 3.5 win total. Shane, they're about to snap it in the fourth game of the season. You know what?
Yeah, they're going to, Mike. They're going to. And do I just walk a mile every time it happens, or is this like a pileup thing? I'd like to space it out. Maybe after every win now, I do the walk after the game, you know, something. Man, I tell you what, I was so wrong on Vanderbilt. I was so wrong on South Carolina, and I get it. Lenore Sellers getting hurt, and that obviously was a big piece. We don't know exactly how this game would have ended, but it never felt, even with Sellers out there, that this was South Carolina's game to lose. It felt like this was Vanderbilt's game, and I mean, right out of the gate, that first 6-minute drive, that is Pavia. That is Pavia magic right there. Just keep the clock drained, which they led the time of possession. We knew you let them do that. You keep a game close and at hand, you will lose every single time to Vanderbilt. And man, I have never been more wrong on a football team than these guys right here. I can't imagine any team remaining on Vanderbilt's schedule is looking forward or just penciling in a win anymore. This is a dangerous football club, man.
So, I mean, what's the bigger story? South Carolina fading or Vanderbilt rising here?
Well, unfortunately for Vanderbilt, it's always going to be about South Carolina. I feel like Lenore Sellers will be the big storyline, what would have happened kind of thing. But Honestly,
if I'm Vanderbilt, I probably prefer that, though, don't you think?
Yeah, to a point, but we're still through. Are they top 25? I don't even know if the AP voters got a chance to glance at this game, but
yeah, they are ranked now.
Yeah, I mean, this is a top 25 team, should have been, I guess, from week one. So they're finally starting to get their recognition.
Yeah.
Oh, it helps, man. Theo's on the sideline dating Pavia's mom, you know, so. Let me turn on you. Are you more concerned about South Carolina's offense or just the defense in imploding?
I'm more concerned about the offense.
Okay.
Because again, we got Sellers, we got Harbor, we're supposed to be talented. We got a 5-star left tackle, and we just look absolutely lost out there. And now with Luke Doty, you know, bless his heart, I love these stories. These guys stick it through, could have transferred. You know, he's played about four different positions for South Carolina, but I don't know if he's your answer. And now, I mean, we haven't even got to the most difficult part of the schedule, mm-hmm. and we say it every offseason, and we say they start slow. I don't know what the hell it is. I truly don't know. Whatever the hell they're doing in the offseason, they need to mix it up because they always start slow in Carolina, so maybe they'll get it resolved. But yeah. Now we're going another game, Shane, another game. With Mike Shula as the offensive coordinator, this is four, and the first three we said, well, they only got to 17 points. Couldn't even get to 17 this week. Only got to seven. Now, would they have gotten there if Sellers didn't get hurt? Perhaps, but we'll never know. And I don't think you could just put it all on Sellers because it's not like they were whooping ass with him in there. You know what?
Right. No, I'm right there with you, man. And it's, I guess it's discouraging because you want. I mean, I would imagine. The South Carolina felt like they've arrived, right? You know, you were knocking on the door for college football playoffs, and you get to keep your quarterback, which is a leading candidate, in my opinion, for the Heisman Trophy. And then we're sitting there, and we cannot move the football. We cannot get a first down. We cannot score a touchdown. It's infuriating. You get your running back. I mean, how we wanted a free Saul. Saul wants to go. He wants to get locked back up. He says, I don't want any part of this because they just have no life on that offensive side of the football, and it blows my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it going to get better, Shane? I mean, I think.
I don't again, see it. I
mean, they heat up.
Right. But seriously, Mike, the way Mizzou's playing defense, the way LSU's playing defense.
Yeah, we beat Kentucky, and then we get that bye.
They haven't even played a tough defense. We got all excited about Virginia Tech, and then they're losing to a truck company, you know? So it's just like they're firing their coach. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm like, damn, the signature win that they did have was not even a good one.
Man, I'm trying to give these people hope, Shane. You're just shutting that down, huh?
You got Lenore Sellers. They just got to make big changes. That's it. They got to make changes. They got to stop playing scared, you know. Let him cook. Let him throw, man. I don't care if he gets interceptions. I just want to get out here. And I mean, you got some of the most explosive players in the country. Let's let them play, man. Let's cut them loose. They shouldn't just be on specialty. I get it. Beamer ball's fun. But those dudes are great at offense, too. So we got to find ways to get these guys the ball.
Now that you've seen Vanderbilt cruise to 3-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, this kind of would have been the obvious one, I guess, South Carolina, because they had that streak. But is who on this list of who we've got left for Vanderbilt? Let's move past Georgia State and Utah State. Who the hell cares? I'm talking Bama on the road, LSU at home, Mizzou at home, at Texas, Auburn at home, and let's skip Kentucky too. But Tennessee on the road. Which of these games, which remember about 3 weeks ago you said, oh, they're going to lose all of them.
Yep.
Which one are you... Now that you've seen Vanderbilt play, most concerned for the other team, if that makes sense, that they got to face Vanderbilt.
Which team am I most concerned?
Yes, could lose to Vanderbilt.
I think the biggest one, I got two, Mike. Two of the mm-hmm. biggest ones here, LSU and Auburn, because they're having trouble scoring points.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Auburn did, but there was like, we'll get to them here in a second. I just feel like those are two of the most struggling offenses right now. And the way that Vanderbilt is playing, that's dangerous. You've got to have somebody that can separate. And so those two teams are probably my biggest concern. Well, shit, maybe Texas. Throw Texas in there too.
Yeah. Glad you said it, Shane.
Can he say? I'm so used to promoting them Longhorns, but now I'm like, damn, I don't know. I rewatched some of that. Sorry.
Here's the silver lining, Shane. Yeah. Shout out, Be Creepy. I was wrong about Vanderbilt. Beat us. Reminds me of Florida Carolina 22. I don't know if you remember that game, Shane, but that was, to my knowledge, that was like a 40-7 complete beatdown. Dan Mullen in his bag. And we all know what happened after that game. Do you remember what happened after that game?
Uh-uh.
South Carolina was a major underdog to one Tennessee.
Hmm. Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's a fun nugget.
Maybe.
I think the biggest one is Pavia called a shot, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he Babe Ruth this thing. He asked him on Babe that bus. Ruth. Yeah. He said, which one you want? He pointed out there and he said, I want them damn Gamecocks. He goes over there and kicks her ass. That's impressive.
It is. All right. Also impressive, Shane, or maybe the opposite of impressive. LSU beats Florida. LSU defense was sure as hell was impressive. Who wasn't, Shane? And again, this is what I've been spouting for a week here. Again, Napier's going to get the brunt of it. I don't think Napier's got a shot to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But DJ is the one that's killing us. Good night, Shane. 287 pass yards. That's good. One touchdown. That's good. Five interceptions. Oh, my Lord, Shane. That's the most interceptions a Florida quarterback has thrown in a single game since 1992. Good night. DJ wasn't even alive back then. Jaden Ball, our workhorse, got it 10 carries again. We just forgot he exists, I guess. But, hell, I mean, LSU wasn't much better than them. I mean, again, you get five interceptions. How in the hell are you going to lose unless your team's throwing six? This was an ugly game. LSU rushed for 96 yards on 25 carries. Florida rushed for 79 on 27 carries. LSU 0 for 2 in the red zone. Florida 1 for 1 with a touchdown. And Florida, again, same old, Shane. They had an 87-yard touchdown returned by penalty. That really could have broken the game open. And hell, I think the Gators would have won it. But, hell, you can't be cheating either. You can't be doing illegal shit like you. But that's kind of the story of the first of the two losses: scoring touchdowns but getting penalties. And man, this is a tough one. This is like a meltdown of epic proportions here for old DJ. But what's your thoughts on LSU? I don't know if you want to call it surviving. We'll get to Coach Kelly here in a second. He was pretty damn heated after this one. But 20-10 win over Florida.
Oh, man, tough watch, right? You know, I think my great-great-grandfather would have appreciated this game. Good defense and, I don't know, 50 pass attempts, DJ Lagway. You know, I feel like, what are we doing? You've got the best running back, arguably the best running back in the country, and yet we still find ways to let DJ try to win this thing when clearly he's not on his game. Has it been since week one? And these weren't tip passes that became interceptions. These were some of the worst passes I have ever seen in the SEC. It's like not just worst. It was terrible, terrible watch. And the Gator fans, they're done. They are completely done. The savior of this program, when he's coming out here throwing five interceptions, that was the gel. That was the glue. Now they're like, you know what? F it. If he goes, he goes. You know what I'm saying? Get the coach out of here. I'm surprised. I will be surprised if Billy Napier survives one more loss. That's where I'm at right now with the Florida Gators.
With College Game Day coming to town?
God, even worse. Even worse for them. Because if Miami puts a damn ass whooping on them, which Carson Beck would love to do, and he has done before, I feel like, yeah, this may be the final straw. All eyes are on the Florida Gators right now.
Yeah, but you said a lot there. Are you concerned about LSU?
I mean, that defense is elite. I'm not. When you've got one side really good, really, really good, I feel like there's potential to win any game. And right now, LSU defense is playing out of their damn mind. It may be the best defense in the country. And the seesaw from having this elite offense to now an elite defense, I have no doubt in my mind, you know, that LSU has plenty of talent. I mean, I think they've got the most expensive wide receiver room in the country, yet they only get one reception per game. I feel like that's the argument that we're going to have to get is let them loose, you know, get the running game going, get the passing game going. It's there. You have the pieces. It's just putting it together. You have a defense that clears up. If Nuss comes out here and throws an interception, who gives a shit? You got Weeks whenever he can come back to come out here and help you. You got Perkins come out here and help you. You got a secondary that is just ball hawks back there. Yes, let's have some fun. Cut them loose, coach.
I don't know. Can't run the ball in Louisiana Tech, Shane.
Yeah.
Can't run it on Florida Gators. Again, I just don't know this. You're not going to get five interceptions a game. Are you?
No. I'm
concerned.
Is it sad to say they probably played the worst quarterback that they're going to play the rest of the year?
Yeah, I mean, very well. I think so. With, you know, we'll see about Ole Miss. We'll get to that game.
Yeah.
They got a little controversy now. So, let's assume Sellers is back. Diego, Marcel Reed's on fire. Ty Simpson, yeah. We'll get to that. Talon Green, John Mateer.
Oof. Yeah. I mean, They got their hands full, but they're going to have to score points, like you said. Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, A&M, these are teams that are putting crazy points up right now. And LSU's going to keep you in games, but you're going to have to match them. And it's not like Nuss's first year either. I mean, Nuss has shown that he can be very prolific. I mean, he's had a lot of talent, around him, and he's been very successful. But now, arguably, the most talent surrounding him, and we're getting one reception for 13 yards, one reception for 20 yards. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I see Barry and Brown. I see Nick Anderson. I see all these dudes, absolute studs that will be playing in the NFL, and for some reason, we can't get them the football.
Oh, big Rouge here. BK said they did what they had to do to beat Florida win.
Hey, if you keep winning, who cares, right, Coach Kelly?
And then someone else said, well, Louisiana Tech. Yeah, right here we go. Crazy cheese. They won their game 49-7. So,
yeah,
hell, maybe they're elite. You know what?
Yeah, maybe we should bring them and Notre Dame in the SEC.
But, all right, so anybody that missed it, again, I don't know what – wild hairs got up a lot of these coaches' asses, but Brian Kelly, first question, did not appreciate it. He went damn crazy after this game, I thought.
Brian in the back, I know you love these immediate post-game sessions, but what are you seeing with your offense?
Stop. Really? Is that the first question? We won the game 20-10. Try another question. What do you want me to tell you? I just laid it out for you. We played the game to win the game.
All right. How about third down then? What is going on with third down?
One game. Last game, we were great on third down. You're looking at this from the wrong perspective. LSU won the football game. Won the game. I don't know what you want from me. What do you want? You want us to win 70-0 against Florida to keep you happy?
No, I think people want to know why you can't run the ball, quite honestly.
We can run the ball. Did you see the last play of the game? That's all you need. You just need one. There's a ridiculous questions. And I'm getting tired of it. That football team just worked their tail off to get an SEC win, and you want to know what's wrong. You know what? You're spoiled. You're spoiled. This team is 17-1 at night. 17-1. Give them some respect. How about that? Give them some respect instead of micro-analyzing every little thing. This is ridiculous. For a group of seasoned reporters, that kind of question is so out of line.
I'm going to double down, Mike. While we're here, let's back out that 51-yard run, right? Durham has 40 yards rushing in this game. You got Bower Sharp, 71. He was probably the player. Aaron Anderson looked pretty good. Xavion Thomas, 4 of 35. Berrion Brown, 2 of 26. Nick Anderson, 1 catch for 9 yards. And you're upset? Because I think, why wouldn't we be upset? We just showed you five interceptions, five opportunities to give you good field position. And if you ain't fumbling it, turning it over is this absolute shit show with the offense. So, Coach right. Kelly, let me talk to your supervisor.
I apologize. I should have laid this out at one point. I mean, they scored 20 points. One was a pick six.
Yeah.
The offense didn't even score 20 points. You know what I mean? So, again, they won the game. Yay. I saw an LSU fan say, you're going to look stupid when we run the table. They're not running the table with this offense.
Mm-hmm.
Not as it's performing today. Can they get a lot better? Hell yeah. And they've got the talent. They got the pieces. I think their offensive coordinator is not good. Yeah. And again, they had a ton of talent that went to the NFL, including the number 6 overall pick. Their tight end, I believe, was a second round pick. And they didn't do much with those guys last year either. I know Nuss had a ton of yards, but there was a lot of questions about offensive coordinator Joe Sloan, and hell, I still got him. So I just think this is wild. I mean, if your offense sucks, you can't be asked about it. You know, you need to get a grip. And I don't get this. Do you?
Let me ask you this, though. I mean, we got to be fair, because he did point out, what if you're spoiled, right? You got Jane Daniels, arguably one of the most electric quarterbacks to ever come through the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
You've got one of the greatest football seasons ever with Joey Burrow and company. I mean, to go from that to this, do you feel like maybe that's part of it? Because I've been there. I've been there. I talked about my Tennessee Vols 22. With Hendon Hooker, we look impressive, and then we go 2 years, and we're just like, well, we want that again. Even though we're getting the wins, even though we're even making the college football playoffs, we still want that, you know? So I understand a little bit where this is coming from.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair, but I also think it's stupid to sit here and say a team that's 3-0 mm-hmm. is 17-1 at night.
Yeah.
Because this team is not 17-1.
Yeah.
This team is 3-0, and they beat Louisiana Tech and they beat Florida after the quarterback threw five picks. You know what I mean? So
right.
Let's not crown their ass that they've won 17 games. I think that's damn foolishness.
No. What about Florida, though? I mean.
Oh, yeah. So here's what everybody keeps asking in the comments.
Yeah.
What week do we fire Billy?
I mean,
do we do it after the bye week? I don't know. I don't know if we wanted an interim going into Texas, but and I don't know if we want an interim going into Georgia, but I don't know. This is tricky.
I got my Hendon Hooker out of the way there. Mike, this is the week. This is the week. Mike, you have to win. If you lose to Miami going into the bye week, you're out.
Is it Billy's fault the quarterback's throwing five picks?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Yeah, because you had kid gloves on him all offseason, and you're wondering why he's not. It's not just that, Mike. It's the discipline.
It's not Billy's fault that DJ can't
South
stay
Florida,
healthy.
Mike. You're telling me right now that DJ lost the South Florida game, or was it DJ and the coaching? No, shit, no.
We talked about that all last week. I don't know. You need to go back. Go watch.
Watch it. There's Zach no
Goodall's
reason.
Article. He's
there's no reason miss that after South
miss
Florida
after
that,
miss throw by DJ Lagway, and then they're scoring touchdowns, and there's this penalty after penalty. I don't think that's on Napier. I really don't.
Well, doesn't mean you have to have him out there. Bench his ass. Give him a little bit of that humble pie. Ole Miss is doing it. You know what I'm saying? I feel like if you're making mistakes, pull the kid. If he's not giving you the best chance to win, then he shouldn't be in there. There's no reason they should have lost. Coaching lost South Florida. I'm not saying coaching lost this game. Five interceptions lost this game, you know. But the fact that they were able to stay in it with five picks leads me to believe that a few other decisions, maybe we would have had a better situation here. So, no.
Yeah, that makes sense. Look at Brandon. He says, Shane is sassy in that wig. Betty says, Mike, don't argue with her. She'll get the manners. What about this, though? What if, again, we basically did this all week with LSU, and it was a disaster. What if he flips it? What if they beat Miami? Top five, because we don't got respect for Miami.
Right.
Right?
No, I don't.
What if they beat Miami? Does he earn another week?
Oh, he earns another week. Yes. Yes. I mean, obviously he does that, but you know, he's walking the green mile. You know what I'm saying? He is walking the mile. And, I feel like any wrong turn he's lit up. So, yeah, you know, he gets out here and he says the right things, you know, and I like that saying, scare money, don't make money. I said it earlier, but I feel like he's playing scared right now. And if my quarterback is hurting my football team, I'm not afraid to bench his ass, you know, because I feel like a little spark wouldn't hurt. I mean, a little, just, you know, let the kid, if he's hurt and he's not in, let's don't put him out there in that situation until he's ready.
Yeah. All right, Chad, we got to move on. Yeah. Excellent point by you. But, hey, excellent point by Ole Miss. Beating Arkansas 41-35. The Devil Cousin curse alive and well, Shane. But how about this kid? I would not be surprised. In fact, I think he will be SEC Offensive Player of the Week. Trinidad Chambliss, Shane. Yeah. Back up. He had to start. He even got hurt in this game and came back. 21 of 29, 353 yards, one touchdown passing, two touchdown rushing. He was a machine. Talen Green was everything we said he was. He did everything he could to keep his team afloat. And hell, I think Arkansas very well could have won this game. If they didn't fumble at the end, I think they would have won it. 305 yards passing for Talen, a touchdown, and then 111 rushing and another touchdown. This was a back and forth. God, they don't believe in defense in Oxford and Fayetteville based on this damn game. It was up and down, back and forth. Arkansas actually got down 10 late. But again, they made a rally. They had the football. They were going for the go-ahead score. And receiver fumbled, and that was all she wrote. But again, I want to credit Chambliss. I want to credit Ole Miss. And particularly the coach. I've been thinking about this all day, Shane.
Yeah.
Because I've been hard on Ole Miss, which I think they deserve. But I think it's a masterful coaching job to win a conference game like this with your backup quarterback, and then he gets hurt. They throw in Austin Simmons, who he didn't look like he should even be out there. Yet he ran a little bit, and he threw a touchdown. And a masterful coaching job to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, do you have any issue at all with Lane Kiffin taking his wang out and peeing on the SEC injury report? Because this is supposed to be a thing that they do, and he even said it in the postgame. He said, well, you saw it, Austin. He wasn't injured. He played the game, so he didn't have to be on the report. But clearly, that guy is, I would be, I don't know. I don't know if he's even going to play anymore but until he's healthy. You know what I mean? So thoughts on Kiffin kind of making a mockery of the injury report?
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
No, I mean, if you were to pick a coach that would do it, I mean, he'd be leading the list, right? He's anything that feels like gives another team a competitive edge, I feel like Lane Kiffin's going to absolutely hate and despise. So I'm not surprised here. I am, I guess, maybe surprised that he came in at all. I feel like that this was a good game. That shouldn't be the, for me, That's not the storyline here. This was two elite offenses going back and forth, and I can't help but wonder if they're just not wasting Talen Green. I feel like there's going to come a point. You're going to talk about him 10, 15 years from now. Saying maybe Arkansas has an elite defense at one point. You're just like, dude, if we had this defense with Talen Green, by God, we would have won a national championship. I feel bad because there's been so many years that's been the problem was the offense, and now you have it, but you can't win. You know, if I told you, Mike, Team A, Team B are going against each other, and this thing's going to come down to one possession, one score. Which coach is going to win, Lane Kiffin or Sam Pittman? What would you tell me?
Oh, Lane Kiffin, and 10 out of 10.
And so would every Arkansas fan, because they're used to losing close games, which is very disheartening. This was a very, very fun, entertaining game, and you knew somebody was going to be pissed off or upset at the end, and unfortunately for the Razorbacks, it was them this time.
Right. At the end of the day, I said all that to ask you about the injury report.
Yeah.
Kiffin's job is not to be transparent.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to play by the rules. His job is to win damn football games.
Yep.
And as long as he wins them, they're not going to give a shit what he does.
Yep.
Now, he's probably going to get fined, if I had to guess, by the SEC. But I think that's all that's going to happen to him. So, again, that's what he's paid to do, and he's damn good at it. So, yeah, I mean, again, it's kind of weird, but I guess one coach doesn't have to honor the rules, but the rest do. I don't know. That's kind of interesting. But, again, who the hell cares? You know what?
Yeah, if we had a list of coaches that need, like, they're a timeout, him and Brian Kelly are definitely the two right now. And they get to play each other soon, so that's going to be awesome.
And then last clip I have here, so you talk about the one-score thing.
Yes.
Sam Pittman, rough record in these one-score games. He was asked about it. I don't think he appreciated it. I want to get your thoughts on what he had to say.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. I mean, I don't know what I do with it. Tell me what to do. I mean, I don't know what to do.
Curious for you, how do you believe that this team will learn from the loss tonight and to hopefully, you know, flip the script moving forward in the next couple of weeks?
I don't know. I mean, they're hurt, which is a good thing. It means something to them, which is a good thing. So when you have that, they'll go back to work and they'll do a good job with that.
I love Sam, but that is the worst answer. That's worse than filming in a bathroom, Mike. I don't know. I hate that. That reminds me of the timeout chart. You remember that fiasco when he was like, "Oh, it's like you're the man in charge. Why did you lose? I don't know. Maybe because we can't kick field goals. I don't know. So something. Just give me something. Don't say shit like this, Sam. Come on, man.
Yeah, that was a tough look. You know what?
Yeah. Speaking of tough look.
Well, I'll tell you what wasn't a tough look, Shane.
Yeah.
Alabama whooping Wisconsin's ass. 38-14 at Alabama. Might just be back, brother. Because of this man, Ty Simpson. 24 of 29, 382 yards, 4 touchdowns. He actually led the team with 25 rushing yards. Rushing may be an issue here in Tuscaloosa. Ryan Williams, 5 catches, 165 yards, and 2 tutties, Shane. Is Alabama back after whipping Wisconsin's ass?
Yes. Yes, and I tell you what, it's more, for me, God, this game feels like it's so long ago. It was quarterback. It was absolutely quarterback play. We thought ULM, you know, we crowned him, but I gave no respect for that game. But to see Ty come out the second game here and just continue to roll, pun intended, I feel like Bama's back. Now, you pair that with an elite defense, which they were playing. This felt like old Alabama here. So this is a team, rough start, but I think, you know, now is back in the mix. Where did you have them in power rankings? Sorry, I can't remember.
I put them 8 or 9.
Okay, this is a team I could see definitely moving up, but this is also a team that's getting there at the right mm-hmm. time. Good defense, great offense right now. Very dangerous squad.
Is that Peter from Family Guy? Yeah,
man.
Obviously, we'll learn a lot more about them. But Georgia, that is kind of the measuring stick. You know
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Again, I just don't know what to make of these wins over ULM and Wisconsin, but they look razor sharp. Mm-hmm. Defense is firing. Alabama scored on 6 of the first 7 drives. Wisconsin did not score on offense till 9 minutes left in the game. The only other score was a kickoff. So yeah. They completely dominated this game. It was not even as close as the score, and not the score was anywhere close, but it was not even close as the final score would indicate. So, yeah, this is the Alabama I thought we were getting.
Yeah.
And they still have every opportunity is in front of them, and I can't wait for them to face off in Athens because that's going to be one hell of a game. You know what?
Yeah. Now if they get smoked, we're going to fire DeBoer again.
All right. How about this one, Shane? Another kind of a laugher. But, man, speaking of rolling, how about them Oklahoma Sooners? Shane went on the road, beat Temple 42-3, and they said, you know what? I know John Mateer is awesome. Let's focus on the ground game, Shane. 228 rushing yards, limited Temple to 26 rushing yards. John Mateer was 20 of 34, 282, a touchdown and an interception. And, buddy, 25-0 was what they jumped out to. And there was no points in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, this game was over by halftime. Nice win. I thought it would be a hangover, perfect hangover spot. No hangover. In fact, they looked better than they've looked all season. So shout out Oklahoma as a conference play.
Yes, yes. Only thing, Mike, I tell you, got to keep him healthy. Mateer, if he keeps getting hit the way he has the first 3 weeks,
yeah,
I can't see him making 12. They gotta limit the unnecessary running of the quarterback. But I guess you just can't take that out of him. But as long as Mateer's healthy, brother, Sooners are a dangerous, dangerous football team. Ain't it nice to be back, Sooners? Come on now.
Now, are they back though if they lose next week? I mean,
oh no, no!
I think we'll
out.
Just be saying we'll just be out. Saying, "Well, Michigan was way overrated." I think that'll be the narrative, right?
Yeah, yeah. I feel like you've got to get this one right here, this Auburn game. Of course, now it's got the storylines with, you know, Jackson coming back. I mean, there's all that going on.
You can't lose to the quarterback you kicked out the door.
Exactly, exactly, Mike. So this is a very, very pivotal matchup between those two teams,
particularly to a coach that it seemed like half their fan base wanted fired a month ago.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know?
God, you're on fire today. Maybe I don't need the manager after all.
Well, you know who's not on fire, Shane?
Who's that, Mike?
Arch. Oh, Lordy, Lord. Beat Texas 27, UTEP 10. What a performance here. And this, no, I'm not making this up. This is the actual stats. Arch Manning, 44% completion percentage. 114 yards. He was 11 for 25. One touchdown, one interception, 51 rushing yards, two touchdowns. Texas was 5 of 16 on third down against mighty UTEP, just the best team in the country here, Shane. UTEP was 4 of 13 on third down. So at least Texas got a defense. But is it official panic time in Austin, or are they sleepwalking through this early part of the schedule? What's your thoughts?
I think you're panicking. I think you're extremely panicking. Can you pull that up, the upcoming schedule? Because if they play like they've played here the last 2 weeks, Mike, they're not winning Florida. They're not winning Oklahoma. They're not winning Mississippi State. I'm telling you, this is – during the next four games, if you play like you did against UTEP,
yeah,
you are going to lose three out of your next five football games, in my opinion. However, let's don't act like Texas isn't playing some of the best defense I have ever seen. Texas defense is elite, elite of elite. Probably the best. Them and LSU right now are the two best defenses in the country, in my opinion. But
what about Oklahoma?
Well, I mean, I said number three, Oklahoma. Okay. I'd put them in a mix. You know, I'm just saying. But it's a small list of elite defenses, and a big surprise with guys like Wingo and Arch Manning and all these running backs. It just feels like Texas should be able to steamroll teams like UTEP. They should be able to put 40 points on them, and they haven't. So clearly, this is kind of going back to DJ Lagway at some point. And I'm not trying to give Eddie praise here, but he may have been onto something. Don't be afraid to try something else. You know what I'm saying? I know you got all these commercials and all this money tied up with one guy, but sometimes if it's not the best, we may need to look at another option.
Benching Arch, Shane?
I would at least got somebody in there a little bit. At least mix it up, you know?
They got four new offensive linemen, Shane. Haven't you heard?
Oh, God. Here we go. Mike, you watched the game. That interception that he threw in the end zone is – that's not a Manning. That's not,
That looked like a guy who was scared to death to be back here.
Seriously, you get tackled, you throw the football away, you get 3 points out of it. And it was just – those are stupid mistakes that young kids make. And let's not act like Arch is a – you know, a fifth-year senior or something like that. He's going to make these mistakes. And I still have full confidence that he will be an elite quarterback at some point. But, man, I am losing a little bit of confidence in this, and I guess the future of the Longhorns right now.
Hey, somebody asked, Shane, does Stoops save his job by beating Texas?
Oh, my gosh.
It's at Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, maybe
they'll have 2 weeks to prepare. Oh. I'm just saying.
I'm telling you, they have got their hands full. I worry. I mean, they got a perfect schedule right now. Sam Houston, they got to come out here, put these guys away, get a bye week, get everybody healthy before you get into SEC play. But right now, we should already be there. And the fact we're not, I'm worried.
Okay. How about this one, Shane?
Yes. I
mean, these fans, talk about fired up some damn fans here. Bazoo! Shane beat the hell out of Louisiana 52-10. And hell, this is our first, because he's earned it, Shane. He's earned it. First time this year. I'm going to start, I don't know if you sense the theme here. I'm trying to highlight big time guys.
Yeah.
I haven't done a running back. Yeah, he's earned it, Shane. 22 attempts for Ahmad Hardy, 250 yards. Three rushing touchdowns, averaged over 11 yards per carry. Good night. Mizzou rushed for 427 yards in this football game. How about this stat, Shane? First downs?
Yeah.
Mizzou had 32. Louisiana had four. Louisiana had four passing yards, 2 of 14. Mizzou was 6 of 7 in the red zone, 38 points. And, oh, yeah, Bo Pribula, he had like a ho-hum day, 174 yards, two touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown. So they did whatever the hell they wanted, and this is kind of what you want to see. I thought this would be another hangover performance. The only hangover was me watching my predictions go up in flames. But Mizzou is getting better each week, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. No, they are. And I tell you what, Hardy looked absolutely unreal. He reminds me of a lot of yeah, what was his name? Doug Martin, muscle hamster, you know? Yeah. He's just like a little, he is just a ball of muscle. 250 yards, think about that, Mike. 250 yards in this football game. He was unreal. I feel like this guy, you watch him. It's not like he's just padding his stat against a bad team. You watch him. He is an elite running back. They hit one out of the ballpark with this kid, and then you pair it up with Bo playing out of his damn mind. This is one of the most prolific offenses in the country right now, and Mizzou's dangerous. Mizzou's a dangerous football team.
Is he better than Cody Schrader? Be careful with
this.
Schrader.
I like Cody. Brother, I was on the receiving end of a Cody Schrader game, so I understand. No, give me Hardy.
Okay. Speaking of good, Shane.
Yes.
I don't know how good this was, but how about them Auburn Tigers? Shane, they're undefeated. Beat South Bama 31-15. It was ugly. You know, it was maybe not the most impressive game, but it was not truly competitive. This was one of those where they were kind of playing with their food a little bit here. But and maybe they were looking ahead to this big, big matchup with Oklahoma coming up. But any thoughts on Auburn? Again, we're undefeated, buddy. We're 3-0. We're cruising into conference play. Last year, we couldn't handle these. This is a game maybe in years past we would have lost. But we're taking care of business this year, Shane.
Yes, I am a little concerned, right?
Oh, shit.
seriously, Auburn fans know let me say this. You've got two of the best receivers. I mean, we couldn't wait for these guys to catch footballs from Jackson. And the problem is the catching part. I've never seen so many damn drops in my life. I feel like there are moments in this game that Hugh Freeze is trying to build his confidence, right? Get his mind right that he's an elite quarterback, that he's a quarterback of an elite program, but he's not getting any help. You know, the drops are infuriating. And once they figure that out, absolutely, I feel like this is a dangerous, dangerous football team. The defense is still they made a few mistakes in this game. I joked, I called them a little bit of a leaky D, but I do feel like, all in all, though, the way Auburn's defense playing paired to how good Auburn's offense can,
right.
I feel like they can win some games, but they have got to tighten that up this week.
Only three possessions in the second half for Auburn.
Yeah.
And they got a field goal, and that's it. In three. And now they shoot up the clock. That's kind of maybe that's what they wanted to do. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Survive in advance, and they did it. But, I don't know. I mean, this is going to be tricky. I think everyone's going to be picking Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's perfect for Auburn. How about that?
got them right where they want them.
Just like Kentucky, Shane, beat Eastern Michigan 48-23. Cutter Bowley came in. He gave us 240 passing yards, two touchdowns. Seth McGowan, he's heating up, Shane, 104 rushing yards, three touchdowns. Is Kentucky back, Shane?
Hell no, man. They gave up almost 500 yards on defense, man. I mean, that was the – how many times do we say that? Like, these loyal fans and a good defense. Well, they just got loyal fans now. Yeah. I'm worried about Kentucky. And, I mean, Eastern Michigan is a terrible – I mean, they're 0-3, Mike. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like if Kentucky played this game 9 out of 10 more times, they probably would have dropped it once. So I'm worried about Kentucky, but hey, a win's a win, you know? And at the end of the day, that's what matters. We're at 2-1, but Kentucky has got a long road ahead of them.
Hey, just survive in advance. You got 2 weeks to prepare for Carolina. Carolina's going to be coming off a tough Missouri game. I'm just saying, maybe that's where we turn this season around, Shane.
Yeah, no, that could be. They need a big one. I feel like there are moments, like even in this game, I felt like there were moments that Kentucky truly felt in control, and they should be. But then there were moments they look like, you know, they're still figuring football out for some reason. So take advantage of the time off. Come out here, get a big win with South Carolina, and you're right back on track.
And Glenn points out, Eastern Michigan lost to Long Island, so.
Oh, man. Wait, that wasn't the team Florida lost to, was it? No, it was South Florida. No.
Yeah. But how about our last one, Shane? Mississippi State beat the hell out of Alcorn. 63-0. Shane, all our quarterbacks got in here. We rushed for 282 yards. We limited them to 68 yards. And Buddy Blake Shapen, 173, two tutties in there. Mississippi State scored on virtually every drive. They did have one pick, but they only got held one possession otherwise. Again, Alcorn, you're not going to get any brownie points for that, but just no hangover, taking care of business, and you move on to next week. This is a game, as silly as it sounds, they may have tripped up last year. They beat them by 63 points this year.
Yeah, well, and I hate to keep bringing Texas up, but, you know, you score 28 points in the first quarter. That's what you're supposed to do with teams like Alcorn, you know. And I feel like last year Mississippi State, you know, 3-4 years ago, those teams weren't doing that. So definitely not 2 years ago, 3 years, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
I'm feeling a lot better about Mississippi State. And again, not a lot of people are talking about it. It feels funny. You get a top 25 win, then you just go disappearing again. But don't sleep on them Bulldogs, man. This team is back. They are dangerous, and they can score points in a flurry.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, speaking of scoring points, you're about to score some.
Yeah?
Because you're going to guess the opening lines, buddy, for next week. All the lines we got. How about, and thank you, Shane, for loading this graphic because it kind of makes it nice. Texas hosting Sam Houston. What do you think the opening spread is?
Give me.
Remember, Arch is not very good right now.
I know. 37?
42. Oh, Texas is favored by. So, hey, the odds makers still are in love with Arch Manning. How about Georgia State at Vanderbilt?
Give me Vanderbilt 22.
Damn, Shane, you nailed it. Are you looking at these?
Oh, really?
Yeah, 22 points.
Hell yeah.
you're in the zone right now. You're locked in. Speaking of locked in, how about Mississippi State hosting NIU?
Mississippi State 31.
Okay, maybe you're not looking.
Okay.
Mississippi State favored by 22, same as Vandy.
Oh, there's my lock right there.
Okay. Well, I don't not so fast, my friend. UAB at Tennessee. What's the opening line?
Oh, Tennessee 38.
So close. 35.
Okay.
They're going to pull the starters, you know what?
So oh, yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah,
it'd be more.
Good point.
How about Arkansas at Memphis?
Arkansas 21 and a half.
Trap game, Shane. Arkansas favored by 4.5.
What? Damn.
Memphis must be cooking over there. I don't know.
I don't know about that.
How about this one, Shane? Tulane at Ole Miss. We don't know who the quarterback will be for Ole Miss, but I'm kind of assuming it'll be old Chamblay again.
Yeah, I think this one will be 18.
10.5 in favor of Ole Miss. Mm,
damn.
John Summerall, he's a hell of a coach. College game day, Shane. Florida at Miami. What in the world are they doing down there? And what's the point spread?
Miami, 6.5.
8.5.
Mm. Okay, Billy's now, last game. Sure, tune in.
How about South Carolina at Mizzou?
Give me Mizzou 4.5.
7.
Oh, man.
It's probably because they don't know about Sellers, you know? I assume Sellers is going to play, but we'll see. And then last one, Shane, game of the week, in my opinion, Auburn at Oklahoma.
Give me Oklahoma 1.5.
6.
Oof.
I told you, a lot of love for the Sooners, man, and John Mateer.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. What a great – I know I keep saying that, you know, I say that every week, but, damn, there's going to be some good football games this Saturday, Mike.
Hey, shout out Stringer. He says, Mike, is this a new hot cousin of yours? Is this single? And, yeah, so let's go through I missed all these super
I was shame. Afraid people would think JD was on with you again, you know?
Shout out Matthew. You gave us €5, I think, Shane. Shane's just pissed if Vols don't have Austin Peay's defense.
That's true. That is true. We did. We would have won that game.
Queen of the Cox. Hardy's going to run it up our ass next week. I might sell my tickets. Shane and Mike need to be co-OCs for the games, Cox. Come on.
Yeah, maybe that's what they should start doing is letting the fans call third down, you know?
Shout out Benny. He gave us $5. Shane Hardy is the headless horseman because he decapitates them defenders.
Damn, Hardy's good, man.
Tyler, Arch is older than Mateer.
Is that true? I don't know. I have to fact check that.
Yep. Corey Mizzou just became a member. Corey,
welcome to the family.
Somebody's happy they're undefeated. You know what?
Absolutely.
Kayla DeBoer's Asian. If only there were whiskey that could help Vol fans get over the tough loss, maybe some sort of Tennessee branded.
There it is.
And David Shea, remember you guys were talking about a bourbon bet. I'm glad you sure glad you probably didn't. Howdy, Teddy. Cousin Shane will never hear the end of the bourbon bet from me. Rebels playing well. The team will start coming together and playing.
Oh, yeah. Need the defense tighten up.
Does Shane want to speak to the manager? Says Fatal Work. Crazy Cheese Whiz. Dust Bus still exists, but it's in the parking lot right now.
You know, it's funny. The older I get, the more I do see the desire to talk to a manager. You know, usually I just let shit slide. But, you know, you leave the nugget sauce out 2 times in a row, it's like, I need to talk to somebody.
Just like welcome to the family. Go Gators. Florida's defense has given up 2 touchdowns in 3 weeks, Shane, and they're still 1-2. Brandon says you need to go to media days with that wig.
I'm never wearing this again. It is itchy.
Double D became a member. Double D!
Welcome to the family.
Corey Kyla, Mizzou, beat the hell out of South Carolina, 49-14.
Mm. I get hair and Double D joins, you know.
Sorry, Shane. Tough loss. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Cousin appreciate Joe. It. Hey, Cartman. Can I get a screw you guys? I'm going home. Where would you rate Elko, Shane? $5. Elko among SEC coaches in year 2. I mean, hell, I thought last year he was SEC coach of the year to the last month. So
yeah.
He's certainly in the top half.
Yeah, I'd probably say 6-7 right now.
Yeah, I think that's about fair. Jimbo says feels like 98 for A&M.
Ooh.
Grandmaster Choda. Shane looks like if Cracker Barrel had a mascot for most DUIs in the league. Coach Cousin Cameron, $10. I lost a bet to Tim and Robert. Arkansas choked. Here it goes. Howdy, toddy. Let's see. I think we got all the rest of these. Yeah. All right, so anything else, buddy, before we jump off here?
Well, I appreciate all the cousins and family members hanging out. Be sure to hit that thumbs up. Really does help us out. Look forward to seeing everybody bright and early in the morning, 7:30. Don't forget, SEC Hangover, where we tackle the lighter side of SEC football this weekend. And I've got some fun shit for you, so be sure to tune in. And, of course, Mike will be with the smart guy tomorrow. So we look forward to seeing everybody here. JP, thank you so much, cuz, for putting this list together. Today's shout-outs go to Smoked Pigskin, Justin McCollum, Cousin JR, Ben Helms, Maroon Goon, Brandon Norwood, Midland Sooner, Liquid Flames Jr., Cameron Williams, Grandmaster Choda, Jimbo Fisher, Gray, Carried by Dad, Steven, Cousin Joe, Jordan R., Corey Kyla, Brandon McClever, P5 Cowdery, Georgia, wait, got GA, I don't know, Gaga Trinidez, I messed that one up, sorry, Crazy Cheese, I'm sure that's an easy word and I just overlooked it, Fatal Recoil, David Chambers, Kalen DeBoer's agent, Tyler Talley, the Queen of Cox, Ben Etrusca, Matthew Dealer, and Stringer Films, thank you so much for being legends today, and thank you, JP, for putting the list together.
Absolutely. And just a little show announcement. So Steven and I, we always go 7 Eastern, 6 Central, but
yes,
Steven's had an issue come up, a personal matter that it's not my business to disclose. But he will be on, but we're going to go an hour later. So 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, just for tomorrow, because something's come up. And then the lunch hour again with Marler should be up as well. So that's all we got. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you.
See you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.